Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR podcast brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com. Let's talk Optimals Xfinity Series Dover. It's your favorite time of the week. I don't know if it's your favorite time, but reviewing previous optimal lineups is very important in Fantasy NASCAR. You can follow Phil Race Sheets on Twitter. He'll tweet it out, but I also do a video that provides a little bit more context to each pick and explaining how the optimal lineup came to be. And as we see, no matter the track, we do tend to see patterns or trends. You know, like obviously at Daytona or Talladega, we see a very similar lineup construction for the optimal with chasing in the back. We also see that at intermediate tracks or hybrid intermediate tracks like Dover, especially one that tends to run green, we see a pattern. We see where is the scoring coming from, how many hogs or nominators it usually repeats and follows a similar pattern. And then the value can be different at different tracks. So how does value play out at Dover? Let's explore. If you watched the previous Xfinity video on Dover, then you've already heard the 2023 explanation. But if you haven't, I'll go ahead and give it to you again. Remember, practice and qualifying were rained out in 2023. More importantly, qualifying. So in that case, we got an interesting grid setup based on a formula, and there was an opportunity, or actually a demand priority, to chase place differential. Barry starting 19th, Allgaier starting 18th, Sammy Smith for JGR starting 28th. You had to spend money on these drivers. They were not affordable, so that required a good bit of savings. So knowing that, the 2023 optimal lineup may not necessarily be the lineup that you are going to focus the most on. We will still explain it to you. Obviously, you're going to go with Truex the Hog, runs away with the race. Barry, place differential, fast laps once he gets up inside the top five. Same thing for Justin Allgaier, place differential, add in some fast laps once he gets up into the top five. Smith doesn't get the fast laps, but he's more affordable and gets you place differential much cheaper than Nemechek. And same price as Mayer, but finishes better than Mayer. He gets into the optimal lineup. Fine. No explanation needed. Dover's a pretty much a green flag race. The cream rises to the top. I would expect that to happen this season. It happens every season at Dover. You want to use it probably at least three picks trying to nail out your top guys. Even if one driver runs away with the race, it's very likely that second or third on the DFS scoreboard are going to scrape off fast laps, maximize finishing position, and get into the optimal lineup. Again, we got to see how qualifying shapes up. Now, for value, Kyle Weatherman used a bit of a strategy move to get into a better position, but once in that better position, he ran where he ran. As you can see, an average running position of 17th, finishes 14th in a green flag run, which mainly is what we see at Dover. They finish where they run. They run where they should run. And that is a pattern we're going to see at Dover. Not only does the cream rise to the top, but the mid-pack gets to where the mid-pack should be. The slow cars are not going to get the Hail Mary, more than likely. Obviously, chaos could happen, but likely stage three is going to be drawn out. It's going to be lap turning. People are just going to be keeping their pace, taking their time, and doing their thing. And so as the top, the cream, rises, the mid-pack will settle into their position and everything else will kind of sort itself out. And you see Kyle Weatherman, obviously a easy play that day because of the crazy starting position, but Weatherman running around 20th in his Gosling car, it's a little bit better than usual, but not that much. And obviously he's the optimal play because of the place differential. But the big takeaway is, with your mid-pack drivers, you can chase place differential if it's a driver, for whatever reason, didn't qualify very well. But this is a green flag race, and you can pretty much look at the driver ratings or the Dietrich data from 2024, sort them out and say, yeah, this guy usually runs about 17th. That's probably where he'll be at Dover. You can project very easily on your own. Or you can use the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet at RaceForThePrize.com. You don't even have to go to the website. Just Venmo, PayPal, or Cash App the money over to me. The link is in the description below. or at racefortheprize.com. I'll give you the May sheets. I will also throw in Dover. I would love to have you. We would love to have you. I hope I'm saving you time. I hope I'm making it easy. I know I am. And if I can help you, you can help me. Throw a couple bucks my way for the 3D's, Diapers Daycare, and Mickey D's. They get their chicken nuggies. All right, and then last but not least, Timmy Hill gets into the lineup simply because we are chasing place differential and we're paying for place differential in this scenario. And so you take Timmy Hill and a Carl Long car, despite finishing five laps down, but he gets into the optimal lineup because you just need the extreme savings. He does get 19 fantasy points. Not the worst play in the world. Obviously, it wasn't because it was optimal. Now, let's look at 2022. Maybe this one will be a little bit more significant because we have a more traditional starting positions. Allgaier is your hog. Allgaier has been elite. Allgaier is a driver you want to circle this week. Okay, you got that. Good. When you go back to 2020, it's some excellent races. He always has excellent races at this track. His teammate, Josh Berry, also very good. A second hog. Starting up towards the front. Can do, will do. Ryan Sieg, 28 place differential. Yes, absolutely. Ryan Sieg has been very strong at Dover. Sieg cars in general have been very strong at Dover. Circle them. Highlight them. Key in on them this weekend. And he just drives forward. We can pull up the laps, which I might do here in a second. And then Brandon Jones, another. Now, this would have been Jones with JGR. Solid numbers. Starts on the pole. Does not do a terrible fade. Does lose sixth place differential points. But gets enough here. Is affordable enough. And scores 52 fantasy points. Just outside of the optimal will be Ty Gibbs, which is just too expensive. Didn't scrape off enough fast. Didn't get any place differential. Sam Mayer. No opportunity really for place differential. And Allgaier Berry were better. Gibbs was better. Noah Gregson, too expensive. It was the other junior motorsports guys. Pretty self-explanatory there. Now we look at the value. And we see Parker Retzlav in a Sieg car. Average running position of 19th, finished 17th, started 23rd, as I said before. The cream's going to rise to the top. The names that you just saw at the top were who you expect. Allgaier, Berry, Gibbs, Gregson, the elite. And then as you slot down outside the top 10, it's the usual suspects. And here is a Sieg car, Retzlav, running well, finishing well, with not very much experience back in 2022, jumping in Sieg cars occasionally. Solid results. And I'm going to go a little bit more into Retzlav in a second, because one of the things I want to look at is, well, how do we know who's going to run well? Well, first of all, you can know who should run where they are based on what they do this season. But I will also argue it's going to be a limited data size, and so we might need to be careful with this. But I will put it out there that you can trust practice data. Ryan Ellis. Tommy Joe Martins. Top to middle of the mid-pack. Runs around 22nd, finishes 20th. Not a home run value play, although he does pretty well. He starts 28th, but he runs about where you think a Tommy Joe Martin's car could run. This isn't magic. This isn't mystery. This isn't rocket science this week. The cars, barring mechanical failures or wrecks, are going to run where you expect them to run. And in practice, they're going to practice where you would expect them to practice. So there's your two value plays. They scored enough points. They're cheap enough at 62 and 58. And that's your optimal lineup, except for, I think that's it, right? That's our six picks. Yep. Pretty simple. Now, going back to that idea of practice, again, 2023 practice was rained out. 2021, we didn't have practice, so we only had the 2022 races to look at. And so we can quickly just glance over to see our optimal lineup here. And you can see Jones qualifies first. Very fast in practice, good, easy. You always have to worry about rostering Brandon Jones, but we can all agree that he had a very good car on that day. Second on the 15-lap average, 20th on the 20-lap average. You could look at the laps. And we'll actually look at the lap-by-lap data in a second for Retzlav, maybe not so much Mayer or Jones. Gregson was fast, just wasn't his day, and that's fine. Allgaier has been elite. Allgaier checks all the boxes in speed. Josh Berry checks all the boxes in speed. And then, who was our last guy in? Brains clocking out on me. That's okay. Oh, Sieg. How did Sieg look in practice? Well, he qualified real poorly, right? Probably couldn't qualify. There's his speed. 12th, 5th, jam him in. Now, Ryan Ellis, what did he do in practice? 17th on a short run. All right. It looks like he has a decent amount of speed. He did. He had a solid finish, especially when we compare him to the rest of the drivers in the mid-pack here. Starting 28th, 17th on a one-lap run. That's good. Now, you're going to see Parker Retzlaff. 31, 15 on the 10 lap, 11 on the 15 lap. Now, stop. It's red. The numbers aren't good. I can't trust him. Did run 20th on a 5-lap average. And a 5-lap average is a very strong indicator. 20th. Could he be a 20th place car? Sure. Was he a 20th place car? He absolutely was. But sometimes you see the red and you freak out. We also have to have your own context and ideas of, hey, wait a second. This is a young kid. He doesn't have a lot of laps under his belt. This is Dover. How do you think he might have approached practice at Dover in 2022? It's not a rhetorical question. Think to yourself. Put yourself in Parker Retzlaff's shoes. Dover's pretty high speed. It's pretty crazy. All right, get out there on the track, kid. Let's see what you got. You got a pretty good car. It's a Sieg car. Don't screw this up. Do you think he goes out and says, all right, let's hot lap it? No, he doesn't. That's why he doesn't record a fast lap the first couple laps out on the track. He's just trying to get comfortable. Now, that being the case, his tires are going to be worn a little bit by the time he starts to take off the leash and to cut it loose a little bit. And so once he kind of does, you can see he finds a little bit of speed. And hey, if you have access to the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet, you can do this type of analysis on your own. Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. And you wouldn't have worried about rostering Parker Retzlaff. See, the dude goes out there at 138. I don't want to say he's scared, but obviously he's tiptoeing it. Now, one of the interesting things is you can see, you know, obviously the car is going to lose speed as there is tire wear, but he starts to pick up some speed here. 146, so getting a little bit more comfortable. Takes it back in, brings it back out, and he doesn't really have any fall off here. They aren't fast lap times, but what you can see is he's getting comfortable. He's not dropping down from a high speed to a low speed. He's starting to find some speed here and there. Obviously, you can't 100% guarantee that it was always going to be a fast car, but that would be the easy explanation of, yeah, he was just out there dialed in at probably 80%, not going 100 because it's just stupid. Why would you do that? So he goes out and does that. And so that pretty much explains it. Or at least for me, if I'm arguing for practice, helping me identify where they're going to run on Saturday, I like it. So we have four guys at the top, two value. 23 again, we have four guys at the top, two value, and then we'll look at 2021 and call it a day. Austin Cindric, hog. Remember, no qualifying, no practice in 2021. Justin Allgaier, hog. And then Josh Berry. Junior Motorsports, pretty good. Allgaier and Berry, especially good. Berry won't be in the field, but Allgaier will be. Allgaier should be at the top of our charts this week, and whoever is in that JG Orc hot rod. Yaley Brown, Matt Mills. All right, let's explain these guys. Who is Yaley running for this week? Actually, in an hour car. Like, oh, well, now that's a lot better. That's right. You know, we do occasionally see JJ Yaley in a Carl Long car surprise. Because actually, if you go over here to, I think it was 2022. JJ Yaley actually scored the 19th most fantasy points in a long car. but his average running position was 28th. Gets a little bit better of a finish. But that wasn't, he wasn't optimal, obviously. He was optimal in 21 because he was running for hour. He was starting 31st. Had an hour car at an average running position, 17th. Not a crazy coincidence. Not a mystery. Finishes 14th. He had to pay up. 2021 pricing. You know how that rolls sometimes. Then Brandon Brown. Maybe a little bit better than where he usually ran. But Brandon Brown was a solid top middle of the pack driver. Runs in 13th all day, finishes 10th. No mystery, no mayhem, no magic. The cars run about where they should run. Some may have a little bit better day than usual. You know, in 2021, without any shakedowns or anything, you could occasionally see a guy find a little bit more speed than normal. But we're not seeing that. Average running position of 28th, finishes 13th. Fluky McFlukerson stuff. It's typically, where have they been running this season? What are they doing in practice? All right, give them a projection. That's where they're going. And then you just need some savings with Mills at 4,700. I believe he's running for BJ. He was. Average running position 30th. Finishes 27th. Very similar to that 2023 Timmy Hill play. Doesn't do a lot. Does get you 27 fantasy points. Does finish inside the top 20 in terms of DFS. But just an extreme value play. And this lineup, I know when you see the names, like, oh, that's a different build. That's a 3x3. That's three. No, no, no. It is not. Remember, Yaley was expensive with the old qualifying format and the pricing system. And he had to pay for Barry Allgaier and Cindric. They were three elite hogs. And then you get your fourth guy who could be in that $8,000 range, who finishes well or gets a bunch of place differential. But we do get at least three top tier and one very good driver of the mid-pack, or four top drivers. And this is kind of a high price to pay for a mid-pack, but you get him started 31st, and this was the old format. But in the end, if we really look at it, we're only getting two value drivers in our lineup. And one of them is an extreme value, which we've seen two of the last three races. It's just starting 39th. So you get Matt Mills at 4,700, starting 39th. Not the worst driver in the world. The BJ cars weren't that terrible, especially during the COVID era, where at least in the mid-pack, the field was a little bit more equal. Maybe now it's a little bit more separated, but back then you could see anybody in the mid-pack really getting through, especially when you factor in mechanical failures that were happening without shakedowns, lack of practice, which could ruin drivers' races, and just attrition a guy up to the front. Either way, the takeaway, if we look at the last three at Dover, four solid plays. Oh, ad block. You're always trying to run the podcast. Four solid plays, three of which are more than likely elite top fives, fast laps, laps led. Even if one driver runs away with it, we will likely see the second and third place driver scrape off fast laps and get themselves into the optimal lineup. Fourth guy, a little more borderline, but still a very solid driver or solid equipment. And then just two value plays. And those value plays don't necessarily need to be home runs or place differential chases. If the opportunity is there, you take it. But it's ultimately going to be whatever the projections say it's going to be. The guys are going to run where they should run. So I think you can definitely trust the projections, especially with the value. So when you have your pool of value drivers and you're looking at, all right, who can make it work? I would just trust whatever the projections say. Hopefully that was helpful. I think it was. And you win some Xfinity Dover money. If you do, maybe send some of that my way, PayPal, Venmo, Cash App. Maybe you buy the May sheets if you have not already. Subscribe to the channel. Leave a like. Do all of those things. Share this video with other people. Recruit more people to this team. I love having you guys around. Chatting it up in the comments. You can always tweet at me on Twitter at Race for the Prize. Very blessed to have you here and helping me grow this channel. I love you guys. Trip's life fantastic.